Before we look into God's word tonight, let us turn to him in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening in anticipation of looking into your word and reading it, meditating upon it, for the very reason that we might bring glory, honor, and praise to thy name, and that we might live our lives according to thy word, and that it might always be to thy honor and to thy glory. And so as we look into the word, we pray that you will bless our being together. We thank you for the words of truth and life that have been preserved on through the ages. And now we can look into it in this evening hour, be refreshed and encouraged in our faith, and that we want to give you the thanks and the praise and the honor. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. With the help of the Lord, I'd like to read out of the book of Philippians, chapter 4. Philippians, chapter 4. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Cynthia that they be of the same mind in the Lord. I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. And the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, and whatsoever things are honest, and whatsoever things are just, and whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, and whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. And those things which ye have both heard and received, and heard, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done, that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessities. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all, and I abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which are sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesarea's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. May God bless the reading of his word. Let us bow before him in prayer.
Almighty and gracious Father, we come unto thee in worship, in praise, and thanksgiving to thy to thy name, for thy precious word that has been opened to us, the word through which thou dost reveal thyself, the word through which thou dost work, the word that is precious and gives us so many promises and teaches us of Christ our Savior. We have read that thou wilt provide us peace through Jesus Christ, that thou art able to do all things, and that thou would in us be able to strengthen us in Jesus Christ. Thou hast commanded that we would be of one mind, and that mind being the mind of Christ. Help us to understand and reveal thyself through Jesus Christ to us in this night as we read thy word and as we come to thee to know more of thee, to see thee more clearly, to understand and appreciate thy great and precious love, to know the power of thy service and thy humility, and be conformed into that image in willingness, and to be transformed by thy Spirit through the word, as we would yield ourselves unto thee, and that thou would do a spiritual work within us. For we have read that all things can be done through Jesus Christ. With us there is weakness and frailty. There's limitations of time and energy. There is no wisdom to speak of, but foolishness. But thou art the wisdom that we seek. And thou art everything to us. Our Savior has fulfilled thy word. What greater accomplishment of the fulfilling of thy word through love can there be? What greater gift can there be but our Savior, Jesus Christ, who is given for us? Help us to desire that great and precious gift, and to desire nothing else in this world but him. To love thee, to thank thee, and to come before thee with worship, praise, and thanksgiving. Bless us as we assemble in the name of Jesus Christ, to thy honor and to thy glory. Breathe with our brother as he would share the word and as he would expound upon it, that thou would speak to him and through him as a vessel, as a servant, as we all desire to be thy servants, as we all desire to receive the light of thy word, that we would have a light to illuminate our path before us, and that we could go forth in the sin-darkened world and share the truth that we learn of here in this place, that we would take this investment that thou art making in us, investment of thy kingdom, that we would not bury it in a napkin, but that we would use it and be productive for thy honor and thy glory. Thou dost know, O Lord, each and every one of us, in our unique circumstances, unique needs, unique challenges that we face, thou dost know each and every one. We pray for thy blessing. We pray for thy presence. We pray for the gift of faith, that we would be able to believe upon thee and find all of our needs met in thee, that upon relying and trusting in thee, that thou would direct our path and give us guidance and wisdom. Thou art the one who can provide healing and strength to those who we love that are sick and not able to gather with us. And we pray for them that thou would uphold them and that thou would keep them in thy loving care. And we trust each and every one of us that thou wilt provide what is necessary and needful and very best for our lives. And as we go through experiences and challenges, Lord, help us always to remember that we have need of faith, and that we would have need of steadfastness that we've read of this night, that we would endure with thy help unto the blessed end. It is for thy eternity and fellowship with thee that we desire and that we long for to enjoy after this life is over. And also, in this life we desire that we would fellowship with thee, that we would know thee more. We pray that thou would do that for us this night. As we approach thee, we pray that thou would come and be with us, guide us and teach us. For we ask these things through Jesus' name. Amen.
In this chapter here, the thing that really stuck out to me is verse 11. It says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." And this word content is something that seems to be sometimes not exactly with me. Recently, just before we left for our vacation, I had to get another cell phone. The one I had was obsolete. I couldn't make calls in Canada to make calls in Canada to Canada, and so it was just obsolete. I had to get another phone. And the only phone that you can get is these latest smartphones. So I get this phone, and I'm trying to learn how to use this thing. And I was anything but content. I mean, many of you know how to use those phones, and that's good. Thank the Lord that He's given you wisdom, but I hadn't gotten that yet. And so using this thing, it had been so many times so frustrating to me that I could have cheerfully pitched it. But the cost of it didn't allow me to do that. So being content just wasn't there. And so this stuck with me here. How can we be content in life? What do we got to do? It says here that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am to be content. Now, when he's talking about whatever state I am, he's not talking about whether he's in Pennsylvania or Ohio or California or wherever. That's not the state he's talking about. It's the state of mind. It's the place that we're, the way our mind is oriented, if you will, or the mindset that we have. That's the state that he's talking about, whatever state of mind that we might be. And when we're discontent, we're not in the proper state of mind. And when we're discontent, we don't have what he says here to Eudaimus and Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. You see, you can't be of the same mind of the Lord and be discontent. It don't work. It simply don't work. And so you have to reorient your mind, if you will. And how do you do that? How can we then be content? You see, the Apostle Paul talks about this here, and he says, I know how to be abased, I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, to bound and to suffer need. So you see, he's been through all of it. And we know, and we read, and if you look in the book of Acts and you read many of his writings that he wrote to the churches, that he's been through a lot. He's had a lot of experiences. But he has learned in dealing with whatever state of mind he's in, whatever condition, wherever he's at, that he had to adjust his mind, if you will. And so this is what he's saying to us here, how we can learn to be content with things as such as we have. And sometimes we're not Sometimes we wish we had a better automobile. Sometimes we wish we had a better home. Or sometimes we wish all kinds of things. Better phone, if you will. And so, how do you learn to be content? When there's so many things that you think you need, that you would like to have, or would have, be helpful, even, at least. But you see, it's difficult then to be the same mind and to be content. Have the mind of Christ. And so you have to really work on it. And so what he says to us here, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Well, I'm going to tell you, I was not rejoicing. I was not rejoicing. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Now, if you can't understand your phone, that don't make no difference. You still need to rejoice. That's what he's saying. Always. That means no matter what. And so that's then when you can learn to do that, you can learn to be content. And then he goes on to say, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. And when he talks about this moderation, he's not talking about what we dress and what we look like. That's not the moderation he's talking about. What he's talking about here, this moderation is consideration for others. Unselfishness. That's what this word moderation means here. And so if you would read that and say, let your unselfishness or let your consideration be known to all men. Now that there, when you begin to do that, you begin to understand how you can be content. When you learn what that word means to you. And so he goes on to say, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So he's telling us here that don't be anxious about things. It says, be careful for nothing. That's what he's referring to. Don't be anxious about things. And when we get anxious about things, and there's things that we want or we need or we even don't need and we still want, that's where you lose your contentness. And so he goes on to say, okay, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So you see, when you're not content, you lose that peace of God. You're not satisfied with whatever it is. You're just not happy. You're just not satisfied. You're discontent. And as a result of that, the peace of God has a tendency to leave you because of your discontentedness. And so he goes on to say then, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of a good report. So he's saying here, when you're discontented, think on those things. Think on those things. What is honest? What is true? What is just? And pure, lovely, of a good report. So you see, if you take your mind off of your problem and your difficulty and your discontentedness, think on these things. And then it will work right into being satisfied, being content with what things such as you have. Makes it sound really simple, don't it? The problem is how then do we seek out those things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, and of good report? You have to orient your mind in such a way. One of the best ways I find is reading God's Word. Many times, oft times, I find myself, when I'm discontented, I find reading God's Word, and it doesn't seem to matter whatever it is, just reading God's Word has a way of making me satisfied, makes me content, And the peace of God that passes all understanding seems to come back and be within my heart and mind. And then feeling like I have the mind of Christ. So you see, he gives us instruction here. How do we do this? That's why he talks about those people that were helping him here. All right. He wanted them to recognize these women who were laboring, co-laboring with him. And it appears to me that there was Paul wasn't walking by himself. He wasn't alone. He had a company of people with him. And so all of these people being together, and so he includes some of these names, and he's saying to them, entreat them, he says. In other words, be helpful to them. True yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel. And so he goes on to say and talks about that in here when he tells them things that he says, now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. So he brings this back into this chapter and he's talking about those helping those ladies and people that were with him and helping him, those kinds of things, realizing how they all work together, apparently give him contentment. Satisfaction of mind. And that's exactly what he's saying, I believe, in this chapter. And so he goes on to say, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and see in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So he set this up so that they would look and take an example. And if there was anyone that set an example, certainly was the Apostle Paul. He's not boasting here. He's only encouraging them as we try to encourage one another to do the things that God is pleased with. And that's exactly what he said. But he said, I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care for me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. And so he goes on to say then in verse 16, for even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessities, not because I desired a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. So you see, he wasn't looking for help. He wasn't necessarily looking for this kind of thing to be content. But he was encouraging them to do this by giving that he might receive, that it might abound to their account. And so that's the only reason that we do this, is so that our love for the Lord, our love for one another, may be added to our account because we do what the Lord wants us to do. Helping one another, serving one another, loving one another, whatever it takes. And these sort of things then, thinking on these things, certainly then can bring contentment, can bring the peace of God within our hearts and our minds. And this is what the Apostle Paul is encouraging here to do. And then he says, how can we do this? Verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That verse is probably one of the most popular verses amongst Christianity. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And if you think about that, it's a very profound statement. It means a lot to many people. And when we can learn to put our trust and our cares upon the Lord, if we can learn to call upon Him in our needs, when we can learn to be satisfied with the things that we have, and we can be content with whatever He gives us, whether it's good or bad,
Just be content, be satisfied. This is what the Lord has allowed to happen in my life, whatever that might be. But to be content, to have a peace of mind, the peace of God that passeth all understanding. And this is what this chapter is all about. That we would have this peace that everybody seems to want. And that's why he says then, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. And he says, notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Then he goes on to talk about what they have done for him. But he says, But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor for a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing in God. So he gives them the credit for helping and serving the way that they did, that this would abound to their account. And it wasn't because he was in need, because he learned to be, in whatever state he was, to be content. But he was encouraging them there to serve and to do God's will in their lives. This is what this is all about. And so he goes on to say, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And that is, a very profound statement. If we can put our trust in God and we can rely upon him, he has all the riches that we ever need. He knows what we need. He knows what we don't need. And he'll give us what he wants us to have. The key to that is to be content with what he gives us, what he allows in our life, what he don't allow in our lives, whatever the case might be. And so then we learn through these experiences, and after many years in the faith, we learn to be content. Except when we drift away, when we take our mind off of those things that he said, think on these things. When we quit thinking on those things, then we find ourselves discontent, dissatisfied. You don't like this and you don't like that, and you grumble about something else. It's so easy done. So easy done. But it's not pleasing to God at all. He doesn't appreciate it. He gives us what we need, and what do? Cry around about it, complain, murmur, just like the children of Israel did when they was in the desert. We're no different. So let us look at this as a lesson for us. Let us learn to put our trust and our cares upon our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter whatever the case might be, whether we were young, whether we're old, whether we're a child, it doesn't make any difference. You still can trust, call upon the Lord, and he will give the desires of your heart. The scripture teaches that. But it's only according to his will. If we don't get what we want, it's not according to his will. And we need to be content with that. And sometimes we're not. And that's where we lose the peace of God within our hearts and minds. So, as he goes on to say, then now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. And then he encourages them, salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are at Caesarea's household. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And he concludes his chapter, his writings to the Philippians in this way. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So let us take the lessons that the Apostle Paul has learned, things that he has gone through, the examples that he set, that we can not only take them from him, but we can look to Christ. You see, sometimes we have a tendency to look at Christ, and he's the prime example that we need to follow. That's true. There's no question there. He's the one that we should mimic, if you will, or follow or be like, as Jesus Christ. But sometimes we have a tendency that I think to look at Christ as, well, he was the Son of God. He had power. He could do things that most of us can't. And so we kind of look at him as, he's the Son of God. He's God. I can't do things that he did. But we look at someone like the Apostle Paul and many others that are in the Scriptures. They're men. They're just like you and I. They're people, real people. And they can testify to you that they have learned to trust the Lord, to give all their hopes and their dreams and everything to the Lord and live according to his will and be content. And so we can see these kind of people and say, yes, it can be done. Yes, it can be done. But we have to have the faith. We have to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to believe in the things that he teaches us, and he teaches us many things. But all the writings that the Apostle Paul writes to all the churches, he always has an upbeat, if you will. He went through a lot. He talks about the many beatings that he had. But you know, he never gave up. He never gave up. And so we can take a lesson from that. Never give up. Be content with such things as we have. May God bless these few words upon our hearts.
The Apostle Paul, as he was teaching the churches and as he wrote his letters to them, was always inviting them and instructing them to follow after the Lord, to follow after Jesus Christ. When he instructed others to look at his example, he was telling them, follow me as I am a follower of Christ, pointing them to the Savior. And I find it amazing and beautiful how many times, as in just this one chapter, that Apostle Paul is saying that things are to be done in the Lord, to stand fast in the Lord, to have that same mind in the Lord, to rejoice in the Lord. It's not just a phrase to add on. We can stand fast. We can be united. We can rejoice in a lot of things. But he's saying specifically in the Lord and in the things that he loves and values. And then there's some promises that are given that a peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The Lord is doing all of these things through God the Son. And Apostle Paul, no wonder, he knew where his strength came from. And he knew that he couldn't take any glory on his own. And he taught the Philippian believers, and he teaches us tonight exactly where we need to find the strength, where we need to find victory, where we need to find contentment, when he says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Who wouldn't want to have that sort of peace? Or to find that they have contentment in all of their needs being supplied through the riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And God, in his love, in his kindness, in his helpfulness, is inviting each of us to see what the Word is telling us about who the Lord is, how he loves us, his meekness and kindness and helpfulness towards us. He's showing us the way. He's showing us, you know, in your own life when discontentment comes into your heart and how it makes us feel so terrible and it doesn't yield any fruit and it doesn't benefit us anyway. And he's offering us in his love, leave those things behind. Embrace the cross. Embrace Christ. Have fellowship with him when you think of things that are true and things that are honest and just and pure and lovely, the things that are virtuous and praiseworthy. It's no wonder that when we're reading the Word and when we're doing, as it says, being careful for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication, making our request known unto God, and by worshiping the Lord, when we do those things, we're interacting with the Lord. He's speaking to us. We're speaking to him. He's a living God, and he's responding. Thank God that it's not so complicated to call on him. No matter how far away we are, the one with a childlike, contrite heart, call upon him. Ask for more of him and more of his spirit, and he will provide all that we're needing. May God bless his word. Amen.